The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Well, it's a Bears Monday. It's not a very happy or exuberant one. Bears get their clocks cleaned. Down here in Tampa, that's where I am. Still an awesome weekend, and I can share some more stories about it. Good kids back at the shop. I'll be back tomorrow. It's Carmen and Yurko for another hour into Greeny, then Waddle and Sylvie later today, and then Black and Abdallah. So a lot of Bears talk today, a lot of NFL talk. Randy Merkin just told me down the line here. He said, hey, they've moved Nagy's press conference to a Zoom only. Is that strange? I think it's as simple as they've got a COVID outbreak happening in their building right now. That's what's happening, and I think that's why. I don't think it's anything more than that. Look, the Bears aren't going to make any changes. They're not a franchise that's going to make changes midseason. We've seen bad losses like this. We've seen back-to-back 50 burgers. They'll wait to the end if they make a change at all, but yesterday's not a good one on the Nagy resume, and Tom Brady doing goat things once again to the Bears. I mean, really, the numbers, I read them when we started the show. They got him last year. Thank God they at least got him once. He's 6-1 against the Bears. Again, he has two 38-point games, a 51-point game, and a 36-point game against the Bears, and I think a 33-point game. So in 5 of the 7, Tom Brady's hung over 30 on the Bears to the tune of a 6-1 record. He's really dominated this franchise.
They were collecting footballs yesterday. That's what they were doing, collecting footballs, putting numbers on them in the 600s.
Yeah, the 600. So, and I want to get to Mellor's point here, and then maybe I'll talk about something that Sylvie, and I know I'm sure Waddle and Sylvie will talk about it today, because Sylvie brought it up when we were sitting at the game yesterday, and it's a good question about 700. But Mellor, what was your theory? Go ahead.
Okay, so I think Yurko will appreciate this. As I was getting set to head out to PointsBet Sportsbook yesterday at Hawthorne, because Deanna and I did the pregame show from there from 1 to 3, right before I left my house, I was pretty jacked up. Because, Yurko, we had ourselves Liverpool squaring off against Manchester United.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I saw that.
At Old Trafford.
Old Trafford.
And so Liverpool was visiting Manchester United. Big rivalry game, Carm. Mm-hmm. Two of the biggest rivals in English football. And I'm a Liverpool supporter. And it was a big game because both teams are battling for supremacy. Man U's fallen off the last few games.
Right.
Their skipper, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, is right now mired in some difficulties amongst the supporters.
Right. They're not happy.
Well, I was a little bit bummed because I was like, well, I got to go out. I got to leave for Hawthorne. And the game kicked off at 10:30. So I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to see anything more than the first half. Well, I was fortunate because the Reds were up 4-0 at halftime. They went on to win this game 5-0. And so because it was played at Old Trafford, Man U, all the fans were gone. All the Liverpool supporters hung around. They were singing Ole's at the Wheel. Ole in like a festive atmosphere. So this, my theory is, if NFL fans approached it in any way the way they did, you know, soccer fans did overseas, what we would have here is a situation where every time an opposing fan base would come in, like perhaps last week when the Packers were here, mm-hmm. if they had their own section, at the end of games, they would be singing right now, Nagy's at the Wheel, in jubilation, because they know that as long as Matt Nagy is at the helm of this Bears franchise, it's good for the opposition.
Yes.
That's how I think that was, it crystallized for me last night. If we were European soccer as a sport, the supporters would be singing in glee that Matt Nagy is still the head of this franchise. That's my theory. What do you guys think?
A great disgrace, too. Yeah. And I mean, I like it. I don't know that we can round up the kind of support necessary, but
you know, what's
we'd
better?
Have to convince the other fan bases, right, to like stick around and, you know, sort of just troll us after the Bears would lose at home. That's what you're saying, right?
I'm a guy that's convinced that every game is winnable, and you can go get, you know, every game, and you can get to the playoffs. And as long as you're in the playoffs, there's a chance you might be able to do something magical. I don't know if that is viable for this team. They're such a flawed team. I think they could still win. I still think they can get to that magic number 9 or maybe 8, you know, 8-9, which puts you right in the midst of mediocrity. But I'm not a guy that can cheer for things to go bad and you get the highest draft choice in the, you know, this year's draft. I don't believe it. And they don't have a draft pick anyway.
Yeah, they don't have a
first. So that's not something you can even hope for. The only thing you can hope for is if they do bad, then they've got to get rid of Matt Nagy.
Right.
Nagy.
Oh, my God.
Either way.
Nagy.
But, and I can't cheer for that. I can't cheer for the Bears not playing well and not doing well. So all I can hope for is a maturation out of Fields and maybe a little bit more recognition on what's happening to them left and right. And things to get better in those when they play teams that are as good as them or worse, that they find a way to beat them. That's all I can
do. Yeah, I hope that he's not like scarred forever after all this. That he's got a good attitude, it seems like. I do think he's talented. Like, I think there's hope. And Bears fans might disagree with me, you know, and that's fine. I just think that I hope they don't ruin him the way they've ruined a lot of other offensive players and quarterbacks. You know, that's my biggest fear, I think, right now. 312-332-3776. Right. Did I see Mo Salah had a hat trick in that game yesterday, by the way?
Yeah,
he did indeed. 10 straight games.
Nobody watched the El Clasico, huh? 2-0 victory, Real Madrid over Barcelona. And Barcelona had the better of the play, by the way. Let's go to Tom in Mantino. Tom, what's going on, kid?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I watched the Bear game yesterday, and there's really not much to add to what you guys have been talking about. We need to look to the future, and they really should look at Byron Leftwich of Tampa Bay, ex-quarterback, offensive coordinator. Can really develop Justin Fields. Obviously, they're not developing Justin Fields because there's no doesn't look like they even have a game plan or anything for 4 years now, and they really should go after him. And obviously, they need to shore up their offensive line, especially tackle.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad call. I mean, Tom, like, look at Leftwich. Look at Joe Brady. Look at Brian Daboll. I mean, I worry a little, like, the Leftwich thing. You shouldn't make these comparisons, you know, but I think we have a tendency to. You know, like, everybody was sold a bill of goods on Adam Gase. Oh, look what Adam Gase has done in Denver with Peyton Manning. No, that's because it's Peyton Manning. You know, and we know Adam Gase can't coach either. And can't be, you know, is no offensive wizard. Some of that might be the same. Like, well, Leftwich is working with Tom Brady. He's working with the greatest of all time. Although I think you can look at some of the things maybe he was doing even that year with Jameis and say that Byron does get the play calling flow and game flow. And, you know, he does call plays, right? It's not Arians. It is Leftwich, I believe. Is it not, Mellor?
Yeah, I believe it is Leftwich, yes. Leftwich is a very good suggestion for the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Yeah, that's fine. I would take a look. Yeah. I would go with that. Let's throw it out to Patty Boy. Patty on the South Side. What's going on, Pat?
What's up, guys? First of all, I tried to call you guys last week to give you Saratoga Summer in the seventh race yesterday.
Oh, no. Did it win?
Did it hit?
Yeah, he won. 5-1, man. Dude. I've been saving up.
$12 winner. Oh,
good call.
Yeah, I was loving that. I wanted to ask you, Yerk, you think Bill Cowher would consider coming out of retirement?
Well, you know, his daughters were in college. That's why he kind of retired the first time. You know, they won the Super Bowl. Daughters were in college. He's got such a cush job with CBS Sports. You know, at this point, do we get the John Fox effect?
Yeah.
You know, a guy that kind of is all right. He's just kind of holding on for a couple of more paychecks. I'd rather go younger.
Me too.
I think Coward's a different beast than Jim Fox, though.
John Fox.
John Fox. I don't think so. What makes you think that? I mean, he's been away from the game for a while. I don't think you need to go old school. This is not about, like, ass kicking and shouting and screaming. That's not what this is about. I mean, this is about finding a coach that knows what he's doing, that can call plays, that understands offense.
Puts people in the best position to win.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's what this is about now. It's a different league, guys. This isn't about, like, ass kicking and yelling and screaming and shouting. It's about coaches that see the big picture and that, like Yurko said, put their guys in position that understand how to take advantage of weakness. Matt Nagy can't do that. You need a coach that can.
I always used to be of the philosophy that if you have a young quarterback, I want an offensive mind so they can grow together. But I will say I've changed my tune a little bit because, first and foremost, I remember earlier this season, Peyton Manning, when he was doing the rounds and talking about, you know, the Manning cast, he said specifically, listen, when I was paired up with Tony Dungy, he helped me understand defensive concepts and really where I could attack zones and spots as a player better than most offensive coaches I ever had. So that was kind of enlightening to me, is just because, you know, we always want that offensive guru because we're scared he'll be hired away if he does well, right? I don't think it's necessarily where it has to be, the OC type mind, as Matt Nagy has proven, right? You get what you wish for. Sometimes it's the worst thing possible. And also, like, well, look what Brandon Staley's doing in Los Angeles with the Chargers and Herbert. Like, it looks like they're paired up well. And then if you're fortunate enough to have a guy who understands the entire game, that's what you want. Forget a guy who's an offensive guru. Just give me a guy who knows as much as he possibly can about football, and I'll take my chances with him.
Well said, young man.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, I don't think it has to be one way. You're right, Mellor. Like, would I probably prefer an offensive coach because of this league? Yeah. If you can find the next Brandon Staley, I don't know that Todd Bowles is the answer necessarily, but, you know, if you could find, like, a young up-and-coming defensive guy, I could probably be sold on it if he's the right friggin' guy for a change. If they find someone who really understands the game, that understands, like what Yurko always says, like, are you doing the most in your game planning, in your game flow, in your script, like, to, if you have to go off script, whatever it is, like, are you doing the absolute most to let your guys succeed? If you find that guy, whether he's offensive or defensive, fine. I think, you roll with it. But who's that guy out there right now defensively? I don't know. We do love the offensive coaches more, I think, just because this is such an offensive league. But I wouldn't totally rule it out.
The guy's Mike in Evergreen Park. Mike in Evergreen Park, welcome aboard, kid.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
hey,
man.
So I think it's pretty obvious that Matt Nagy is not the man for the job. I would fire him today, not let him to continue to poison the locker room. Let Bill Lazor take over as interim head coach. At the end of the season, I would also let Ryan Pace go and do everything we can do to go after Lewis Riddick as the next GM of the Chicago Bears. From there, look at all the success Joe Burrow's having with his former teammate and Ja'Marr Chase.
Dude.
Go hire Ryan Day from OSU. Obviously, Luke Fickell will take over the Buckeye job from there. And then look at, maybe do you trade Khalil Mack and try to get back in the first round and you pray to God that either Olave or Wilson slips there in the mid to late first round and go team up with Fields with his old coach Ryan Day and one of those two weapons, either Olave and Wilson.
Mikey, you got the whole thing.
It's mapped out. It's mapped out for Mikey.
The hard part is I don't think there's any chance in hell the Bears would get a first-round pick for Khalil Mack. Zero.
Yeah, they're not getting a first-rounder back.
Zero chance.
No.
But it's an interesting theory. Olave and Wilson are going to be no-goes for the Bears because they don't have a first-round pick.
Yeah, you also have to take.
Wilson could be a second-rounder.
Yeah, you know, because Khalil Mack has extended his contract a number of times, you know, to allow them to have money to spend. Anything and everything then accrues into this year if you trade them. I don't know if they can absorb that. You know what
there's
I'm saying?
Even
if you do it in the offseason, I don't know if you can absorb it.
Financially and just from what he's worth right now, there's no way anybody's giving you a first-round pick for Khalil Mack. Now, as far as Ryan Day, I don't know. Cap throughout that name. Okay, I could maybe be convinced. Boy, I tell you, Ja'Marr Chase, are you kidding me?
Yeah, what a game.
I mean, jeez.
Another big touchdown, too, Carl.
What in the world? I mean, that was the touchdown that put him away, really. I mean, that changed the game.
201, 83-yard touchdown.
Dude, I mean, he is like, are you kidding? You see this, what I mean? Like, you watch it around the league, and we're watching Brady yesterday, and somebody turns to us, he's like, it looks so easy. It's like it's – and he wasn't even great. I mean, he missed a couple throws, but a lot of it is just like – okay, I know what to do, pitch and catch, slide one way, step up a little bit. Here's a guy coming open. Here's a zone. I mean, it's just like he toys with you, and you're watching what some of these young quarterbacks in this league are doing. Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Herbert, my guy. It's just like, my God, when's it going to happen? I don't know. I hope it happens with Fields. Yurko, I hope they don't ruin him. We'll continue to take your Bear calls, 312-332-3776. Sylvie threw out another interesting question to us while we were sitting at the game yesterday. I want your thoughts on that, both of you. Mellor, Merkin, Yurk, and the audience, you guys can chime in on that. I'll tell you about it when we come back next.
Working from home? We're back in the office? Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
the boys, and I mean my son, Danny's son, Sylvie's son, heard a lot of interesting language, a lot of choice language, even from us, especially when the game was underway and they were collapsing yesterday. Because, you know, we lose ourselves in the moment, York. We're in the stadium and we start talking the way we normally talk. And then I just, I'm talking to Meller down the line and I dropped an F-bomb and my son's sitting here being good, by the way, quiet because he's playing Fortnite. But instead of in school, you know, let's play Fortnite. Because we're on our Bucks trip, but he, you know, he's reminding me, hey, don't say that. And then this morning we're at breakfast, he says to me, he goes, boy, so Matt Nagy's really the woat. And I go, the what? And he goes, the woat. And I said, what's that? And he goes, worst of all time. I go, where'd you hear that? He goes, Danny. So Danny's calling him the woat, the worst of all time. And I had not heard that. He goes, you know, there's the goat, the greatest of all time, and the woat, the worst of all time. I said, okay. Matt Nagy also has COVID. So we told you that's probably why the Gio, don't say that. That's, now he's in
was
the background.
Was he cheering for it?
Stop
he's
it, Gio,
cheering for him having COVID.
These kids are terrible.
The mouths of children come the truth,
oh,
kid.
Stop it. That's not funny.
Is that
stop.
What's happening in that hotel room? And cheering for the COVID.
He's nine. He doesn't know better. Oh, I'll put him in his place. So we knew that's probably why they were switching to Zoom. We said it. They've got a COVID outbreak happening. I don't know. That's going to make this week interesting, too. We'll see how practice is going to go. Nagy has announced to the media that he is officially tested positive for COVID. The Bears just have a lot going on right now. Unfortunately, it's not good. So Brady throws 600. That whole thing was great. Meller, we should play that sound in a minute, too, the Tracy Wolfson report from the sideline. I saw that this morning when I was rewatching the game. I got a kick out of that. But, you know, Sylvie and I were talking. We were waiting in line to get the kids some food yesterday. And, you know, it was halftime. And he goes, boy, when you think about it, he might get to seven. And I'm like, yeah, it's not crazy to think about. He's going to have what? He's on pace for, like, what, 45 this year, York? He'll have 620 touchdown passes probably by the time the year is over. Like, is it crazy to think that if he plays two more years? I mean, he looks incredible right now. He's playing as well as he's ever played. Like, could he get to 700 touchdown passes?
Well, I'm guessing seven. We've got 10 games left, 10 games, two and a half, 25, probably 25 for him this year.
Okay, so he'd be at about 45
and 40
or so, 47.
Yeah, and then
right, 40 and 40.
Yeah.
Like, he could do it, right?
Oh, and listen, if he could stay on his feet, yes.
And here's the thing. It's little, but he's going to have two extra games if he can hang around.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
A 17-game schedule is advantageous. And honestly, there's talk of them maybe moving to 18 in the next year or two as well. Yeah. So he may have a couple extra games. I think it's very plausible.
I wonder if he can break Hank Aaron's home run record.
I mean, really, he's going to have
that's,
more
that's
touchdowns.
That's in the bag.
And Sylvie said it, and I didn't even think too long about it. I go, yeah. And he goes, you really think so? I said, yes. Let's start doing the math, dude. I'm like, does he look like he's slowing down? Now, like, Yurko always makes the point, one injury could change things because he is still 44 years old.
Yeah, I mean, when it falls off the cliff, it falls fast.
But, man, he looks incredible. Bruce Arians even said it in the postgame. He's like, there is no age, guys. He goes, he doesn't show his age. He practices hard. You know,
and the Bears barely breathed on him. Let's face that, too.
It's true. And they were shorthanded and they barely touched him. But, like, if he can protect himself and he's so smart about doing it and he doesn't get hurt, I think it's likely that he's going to hit 400 touchdowns.
And he's
700 touchdowns, excuse me.
He's kind of gone over the hill in terms of, like, level of maturity. At his age now, he's singular focused, right? He wants to play as long as he possibly can. And we've heard all about the diet and how well he keeps, you know, takes care of himself. And he gets to the, you know, prerequisite. I don't know. He probably sleeps, 8, 9, 10 hours a day?
Because
he's committed to it. And so he's hit a stage of his life now where as long as he can avoid those big hits, I mean, he probably takes better care of himself than most guys in the league.
Oh, for sure. And everything, like Meller, you said, is like that. I like that term, is like there's a singular focus. Like in everything when it comes to football is about, like, this is what I need to do to be the best. Practice the way I have to practice to be the best, to take care of myself. I heard Meller and Waddle play it when Jeff was in on Friday for Sylvie. He played some sound. Was it Russillo's podcast?
Yeah, it was Meller? Julian Edelman on Russillo's podcast.
Yurk, you'd get a kick out of it. It was like Edelman and Russillo were talking. Russillo said he had heard just from some league guys he knows, like, these stories.
I mean,
about Brady.
I have it, Carmen, if you want to.
Yeah, you want to play it real quick?
You want to do it here?
Play that.
Sure.
We can play in a few minutes.
Yeah, let's take some calls, and then we can play the settlement in a little bit.
We'll play Edelman, like this Russillo Edelman story about like how Brady practices in the offseason. Let's take some more calls here.
Yeah, I got you. We're going to go Taylor in Hyde Park. Taylor, welcome aboard.
Hey, what's going on, guys? The most exciting thing this weekend was El Clasico. Real Madrid, they played their tails off. Vinny Jr., I can't wait for the next summer window. We're going to get Pogba. We're going to get Mbappe. We're going to get Haaland. It's going to be like 2009 all over again. But I want to talk about the Bears a little bit. First of all, I got to say Justin Fields, he's not really showing me he's an athletic quarterback, and he's not really showing me any playmaking abilities. When things break down, the pocket breaks down, and you got to play kind of the backyard football, you look at guys like their rookie years, like Russell Wilson, Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, Cam Newton, kind of similar built athletic guys. When things broke down, they just made plays. He's not doing any of that, and he has the athleticism, he has the speed, he has the strength and the arm, and I don't see any of that. So besides the coaching, he's just not making any kind of plays. And then to go back to the coaching, at what point does Matt Nagy start fighting for his job and say, look, we cannot play this rookie quarterback because he doesn't give us the best chance to win? At what point will we, you know, go back to Dalton or Foles, and then how will that affect, obviously, Fields' development? So, you know, from that standpoint, I can't see Nagy continuing to play Fields when he's not throwing for a lot of yards, not throwing for a lot of touchdowns, and not really making any plays when things break down.
Taylor, if he's a coach of any ilk, he would have never allowed the pressure to get to him to put Fields in the lineup to begin with. If he felt like he wasn't ready and he knew what was going to happen, I mean, what already happened to him in Cleveland and down here in Tampa Bay, if he knew that, then he should have never broken down and felt the pressure and named him the starter. Because it was awkward. It was awkward when they finally did name him the starter. So if you're a coach of any ilk, you don't let anybody pressuring you because you know what your absolutes are. And the absolute in this situation was Fields isn't ready. There's no way in the world I could put him out there. I could put him out there just to kind of have him focus on one play or two plays, but I won't put him out there. But he is not a coach of any ilk. So if that was the belief he had, okay, he didn't stick to it, and he's put him out there. Now, you got to stay with him. You got to stay with the guy. That's just it. You and him in the boat. The way it works.
And I still think, regardless, that he's still their best option. I just can't see the sense in playing Andy Dalton. I'm sorry. Anybody else you want to grab?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grabbing Big C on the south side. Big C, welcome aboard.
Good kid, what's good?
Everything is good for the good kid.
Good kid, man. You should have been a Packer fan, man, because you know about football. People like Silver and Carm, they're the typical Bear fan. Don't know nothing about football.
Silver, what did I say?
Because of what you just said, Carmen. Andy Dalton should be in there. The boy's not ready. You know what I'm saying? Y'all want to see y'all jersey on the field. That's the only reason he's in there. They press the ownership to put him in there. And, good kid, I get what you said about Nagy, but he had to do what he had to do. When he get the call from the big head, to put the boy in, put him in. The guy's not ready. The guy can't even do. He can't command the line of scrimmage.
The problem is, though, he looks ready.
Hold on. Yeah. Should Andy Dalton or Justin Fields be playing for the Bears?
Justin Fields should be playing for the Bears.
So there you go, Big C. I guess I'm as smart as Yurko. Bye. Yeah.
Big C, I've got him. He's got to be in there. I've got to have that guy as my quarterback.
Big C is your typical. Big C is the typical Bears fan. Sorry. Yeah.
And please, give me a break. Mike Tomlin doesn't get pressure to put Justin Fields into the game. Andy Reid doesn't get pressure to put Ryan Fields in the game. Those guys don't feel that pressure, period. That's just the way it is. All right? Go ahead. Give me what you need, Carm.
Well, Mellor probably has that Brady sound. You want to hear it?
Yeah, I want to hear that Brady sound.
The Edelman on Brady, the Wolfson negotiation?
Oh, yeah, we should play that, too.
Why don't we let's take a break. We'll come back with the Wolfson report about the
Nancy rollover, hilarious.
And then also we can the Julian Edelman story about Tom Brady throwing to who he just won't throw to any average Joe.
Yeah, like his work ethic and like the way he does things is like it, it's incredible. 600 touchdown passes.
Yeah, you just can't be an average guy and receive the receptions from him.
No,
not anybody can just catch his passes.
All right, we'll grab more. All right. We'll grab more of your Bears calls at 312-332-3776, and we'll play some fun sound coming up next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
On the board. gotcha. I've never heard of 600 in anything in football, but Brady has it with a strike to Evans over the middle using his size. And how good is that 600, Jim?
Great negotiations in NFL history.
Right here, he's like, we need that ball. That's 600. What? Really? So what do you want? A million? No?
Oh,
a
this,
day with
this,
Giselle. This a day with Giselle and I'm in. Tom? Okay, Tom will do it. He'll love it. One time. You got it.
Well, Jim, here's how it went down. The Tampa Bay official went over and he said, what can I give you? So he gave him another game ball and then promised him some sort of signed jersey. They're going to figure it out after it's all over today, Jim.
That's a bad deal.
It is.
That is a terrible deal.
I really thought that David Giselle was really worried to pull the trigger on him. $1 million is up there. I mean, they're close, you know. But he had his chance and he gave it back. Without a haggle for at least two commercials.
Could have been some tickets involved, season tickets, who knows. A little stipend as well.
I'm with Nance and Romo. What do you guys think? That's an awful deal, right?
Yeah, that's an awful deal.
You're holding all the cards in that situation. How badly does Tom Brady want it?
Some sort of signed jersey. Right? How many different sorts of signed jerseys are there? There's just the jersey, right? And it gets signed.
I mean, at the very least, don't you have to be like, hey, you know, a box for a game next year. I get to bring my 20 family and friends, right?
That's a good negotiating ploy right there.
Come on.
For later on this year, for a playoff game.
Or a playoff game, right? Nancy's all over it.
That way you can't say it's already sold.
That's a terrible deal.
Not only that, but I want chicken wings. I want risotto. I want it with the alcohol, the liquor, the sodas, everything. Carte blanche.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying, Carm?
This is your one chance. You know, you think, well, you guys are being too greedy. I don't know. I mean,
you can never be too greedy, Carm.
Listen, he's in the front row. I think you got to be more aware of your surroundings in that situation. Amateur hour. He just gave the ball up because he wanted to be a good guy. I understand.
Right. Good guys finish last, guys. Nice guys finish last.
I mean, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Think of the man's net worth. You need to step away.
How about a chance to swim in the moat that surrounds his house?
Absolutely.
I'd like to be able to go kayaking in your moat, and I want Giselle.
You're going Tony Romo here, buddy.
No.
I want her to host a luncheon while we're there, too.
I should have let you finish your
thought. Yeah, you guys are a tad bit presumptuous.
If I was the guy, I would
have. Tom and Giselle hosting us at lunch, my
That's
party
amazing.
At 20.
I would have just left. As soon as he got the ball, knowing what it was, I would have just split so that they couldn't.
How does he verify the ball?
I think it's true, but he.
I mean, is there you a chip in there?
Yes, I would have. As soon as Mike Evans gives me the ball, and you know it's 600, I would have got out of there.
You know how he is with balls. He'll put it right in his golf bag, and he'll be out and gone.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Sell it, or would you keep it for your personal collection?
No, I would sell it. You kidding me?
But you have to get it authenticated. Then.
Well, sure. There's ways to do that.
You don't need to run out the door, but. There's no need to make any final come to any final deal before the gate, before the day's over. Like this should be a long drawn out process. Like I'm treating it like a there's a trade deadline 2 weeks away. I don't need to be, pressured to make a move.
It's not a 3 minute negotiation that we're going to do right here on the sideline.
Like, why don't you think about it for a few minutes? Consult.
Not only the guy negotiating's in no position. He doesn't have the requisite amount of power to be able to promise something or not promise something. I'll keep the ball. I'll leave. I'll see you guys here tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
Right. And we'll sit down at the table. Yeah. The whole thing was hilarious. I watching it this morning. I got a kick out of Nance and Robo. Nance nailed it. He's like, that's a terrible deal. Just absolutely terrible.
By the way, in this situation, too, possession is 9/10 of the law. The ball goes up there. It's a free for all. Whoever gets it, gets it.
Oh, it's
now, they can ask for it back, and you can say no. Then they can ask you to leave the stadium, which is fine. I'll leave the stadium. Thank you very kindly.
Yeah. See you tomorrow at the negotiating table.
I'll see you at the negotiating table.
Meller, set up that Brady sound that you guys played when you were in for Sylvie on Friday.
Yeah. So this happened. Russillo had Edelman on his podcast right before the Bucks went back to play the Patriots, Brady's homecoming. And I was amused because Waddle and Sylvie were joking around about Waddle. If he ever had the chance to play catch with Tom Brady, you know, would he be down for that? And Waddle's like, of course, I would love the opportunity to play a round of catch with the greatest of all time, right? Well, yeah. I informed Waddle on Friday that no matter how hard, even he would not be allowed to have a catch with the greatest of all time.
I heard a story. This actually happened recently. I was out with some staff, college staff guys. I think Tom was working out on the campus, and I think you guys were there. Like, there was a bunch of pros. And
we're at BC.
What's that? No, it wasn't BC. I'm not going to name where it was, but it was some college guys, but it was also some pro guys. And Tom, the way it was described with me, he was just throwing some deep balls up in the air, like up and easy, right? That's what you guys call it. Just like, hey, just, you know, let's all get loose. And then it was time to go through the drills. And this guy told me the story. He's like, you broke. And then he was standing behind, like getting ready to go, looking down the line. And Tom just went, nah, like waved him out of the drill. Was like, no, dude, like, I don't know who you are. And I'm not throwing to you. And then apparently some of the other guys that were on the Pats were like, he didn't throw to us either. I just love hearing about different stories about Tom and how he was wired. I think in a weird way, we don't quite understand what this dude is all about. And even though we've watched him for 20 years, we still don't really get it with him.
We would go out and, like, he was very particular of who he would throw to. And if people were around, he didn't like people around. He want, like, because it was work time to him. He literally, anytime he was on that field, it was about, I need to get an edge. I need to get something out of this. And he's not going to get something out of this with throwing little Timmy Tommy from you know, North Dakota State or something. You know what I mean? He's not getting anything out of that. It's A, going to ruin his time. Like, and he wasn't bashful to say anything like, hey, you know, hey, bud, I'll throw. No, he would say, not this one, buddy. Jules, get up. And that's how he was. And you got to respect that out of him.
I love the story, and the guy respected it too. And again, I'm not going to name everybody that was involved, but there were other, like, really established receivers that were like, hey, don't even sweat it, bro. Like, he's not going to throw to us either. Like, Jules is a guy, and he's going to throw to his guys. And it's just the way it is. He's got his own language.
That's also what made us because, or, you know, him with the guys that he had good relate, Welkers, the Randys, because we would throw so much with each other that we would know each other's body languages. He'd know when I'd be coming out of a cut. And say I would have to break it 2 yards short because it's man coverage and depth doesn't really matter, where he would know that I'm breaking 2 yards short, and he knew that I was going to cut the angle off where I would cut it so it couldn't get undercut. So all those things, there was a purpose for all that. It wasn't because he was trying to be, you know, an a-hole, even though sometimes he can be.
It's interesting to hear those stories, I guess, sometimes, Jerk. It's like all business with him, you know, but it was – I got to kick.
Yeah, he's got his guys. He doesn't want he doesn't want anybody running around that, you know, it's not one of his guys.
So. Yeah, it's all business.
Hey, whatever.
That's why he's the GOAT.
Yeah. Whatever.
He's awfully good. All right, back out to the phones, York. 312-332-3776.
Yeah, we're going to go to Harding. Harding in Charlotte. Harding, welcome aboard, kid.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? I just got a comment about that ball negotiation. Like, you can't take anything less than maybe $1 million. Because when you think about it, like, an unreleased Wu-Tang album sold for $10 million at 101. You're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time. 600. Nobody's ever done it. You have that in your possession. You have to get cashed out. Because you can sell that privately for something upwards of $1 million to more. And then you got to talk about lifetime tickets. Like, you have to go to the ringer there. We're talking about billionaires making a decision on something that's of a historical presence, not only to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, but the NFL as a league. That is a horrific, like, that's insulting, the negotiation of a jersey.
It is.
A jersey.
Listen, Harding, I think we're on maybe there's like opposite ends of the spectrum here. That is insulting. $1 million might be a little crazy. I mean, the league might tell
no,
you.
No. Not for what things are going for nowadays. $1 million's really? Not crazy at all. Yeah.
$1 million?
I mean, he just told you an unreleased Wu-Tang album.
Wow. But $10 million. I can't compare. Like, I don't know what I don't know that enough about that world. Like, I'm not a music guy. I don't know why the significance, but I mean, like, I don't know that we can directly compare apples to apples, like what's happening with an unreleased album from someone like Wu-Tang Clan and sports memorabilia. I don't really know, but I mean, $1 million seems a lot.
Well, this is the ultimate. This is the ultimate, though, of sports memorabilia. This is the 600th touchdown.
But it's not a record setting ball or anything. It's 600.
It's number 600.
It's one of one, guys. One of one. There's
only one.
I wonder, like, what that ball would be like. This we always say, firing a phone call or a tweet to our guy Tom Morgan. I mean, he's kind of the expert. He's the sports memorabilia expert who might be able to give you a good idea what something like that would be worth on the market. I mean, a million seems high. But
remember when McGuire and Sosa were, or not even, but McGuire. Remember when Todd McFarlane, the guy who created Spawn, the comic book, bought all those baseballs for each one was going for well into the six figures, and plenty of them were going for millions. I think Harding is completely
right. Okay. Well, boy, if that's the case,
I don't think he could sell any of those balls for what he paid for.
No, and you're right. They did a story, Yerk, about they went back and checked in, and certainly because of steroids and everything,
right,
none of them are worth anything close to what he paid for them. But the thing is, when you're dealing with billionaires who want this, you know, these items, money's not really the object. It's a matter of, can you find, you know, in a couple of guys who are willing to bid it up on each other?
I don't know enough about that world, I guess. So maybe I am uninformed, you know, just uneducated about it. Like, maybe somebody would say, no, that's $1 million ball. Then he really got a raw deal. Listen, there's no two ways about it. It was a crummy negotiation on the Bucks' part. I kind of feel bad for that guy a little. He might have felt pressured. The cameras are on. This guy's asking him, like, that's a terrible negotiation.
Byron Kennedy is his name, Carm.
Byron Kennedy. Yes.
Byron Kennedy.
He's been outed. His name is Byron Kennedy.
That's the guy who got the ball.
Let's get him on. Let's talk to him.
Yeah, we should try to get him on. Poor guy. We're ripping him. But I mean, like, we're going to be like, what are you thinking, dude? His friend should. The friend next to him should have been like, man, hold on a
second.
Slow
down.
Like, let's think about this.
Do not be a nice guy here.
Poor guy. All right, we'll grab a few more Bears calls coming up next.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join the Wildcats at Ryan Field this Saturday when they host Minnesota at 2:30. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, good kid. Should we do some rapid-fire Bears calls as we get ready to wrap things up? Greeny's up next. Waddle and Sylvia, too. Black and Abdallah tonight. Still lots of Bears conversation to come. So
yeah, I'll do a rapid.
Fire off a few.
I'm going to do a rapid-fire Bear call.
Let's go to it.
Pharmacist Brian. What's up, Brian? Welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. Here's my thing. I think they should trade. Look at the two greatest value players on the team. So either they deal Montgomery or they deal Mack for a tackle and a draft pick, because they are so far out of the league with interior talent, any type of a chance to do anything with this team, that is the only way to salvage this stinking ship. You know, you look at the sixth round pick, the Virginia Tech kid, how he's running the ball. Quite honestly, you put a back between a solid line, and they're going to rush for 1,000 yards. That's my idea. And if I was a GM, that's what I'd be looking at right now.
Yeah, you should never spend money on running backs. Yurko and I have told you that forever. The problem, though, Brian, is that that was Brian, right, Yurko?
Yes, Pharmacist Brian.
Pharmacist Brian. The problem is, like you said, you hit it on the head. I mean, there are too many punitive things, like contractually, money-wise, that make it almost impossible this season, even if you wanted to at the deadline, to trade Mac. That ain't happening. I mean, they're not making moves like that right now, especially if they win Sunday and they're 4-4. Right.
And I don't know what trade value David Montgomery has, even if you go to a team that's got down to the third or fourth running back.
Running backs have zero trade value.
Dime a dozen. That's what they are right there, guys. Sorry to say it to you, but that's the way the
especially one that's injured. That's, you know, got a knee injury that is coming off it.
Dave, Lake in the Hills, welcome aboard. What's going on, kid?
Yeah, that guy that gave up the football, and you guys are saying $1 million, it's worth $1 million. It's really not worth anything because he's still throwing touchdown passes. So what about 601? Look, 602, 603. What if he hits 650? Then you're going to, you know,
he's
be worth $1 million.
He's gonna, buddy. You're right. He's gonna hit 700 probably. I mean, that's, I don't know. The next guy won't make the same mistake.
But that's where the comp comes in with, you know, again, Seth MacFarlane buying all those baseball cards. If you find somebody who's a collector who wants, you know, these historic balls, the round number of 600 is significant. Now, it may $1 million may be a bit presumptuous. But you don't really know until you put it, you give it to an auction house and you let them have their piece and you see who's willing to pay what.
Yeah, put it out there.
It takes just one, right?
Put it out there in the auction is what you're looking to do. By the way, a 1,000-yard rusher, just so we all know, a 1,000-yard rusher only has to have 59 yards a game to get to 1,000 yards in a 17-game season. You want to know if a running back is good or not? He's got to be able to average 100 yards a game.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, that's who you're looking at. Some running backs in the past, like Priest and Jamal Lewis, they had those 2,000-yard years. Corey Dillon, mm-hmm. you know, but they had him for 1 year. They didn't have him for numbers of years on end. But if you can go to a guy that averaged to 100 yards rushing in his career in about a 5.0 average, you got yourself a running back right there.
Yeah.
But my running backs, to me, are all the same. They run the ball effectively, and they can catch it out of the backfield. That's it. Those are the running backs I want. And all five of my running backs have to be able to do both. Yep. Got to be able to run. You got to be able to catch. If you can't run or catch, I don't need you. You can go someplace else.
Who's next, Yurk?
Next is John Yurkovich and Carmen DeFalco.
Oh, we're cleaning them out.
10
okay.
to 2 every single so, day, Monday through Friday on ESPN 1000.
So, Carmen, I was able to locate the person who got the ball.
Yeah.
I spoke to his mom, actually. He's a doctor. So I just tried calling him. He didn't answer. So maybe we can try to get him on tomorrow.
We'll try.
What kind of doctor is he? Is he a pediatrician? I didn't ask.
She just said he's an MD.
Is he a doctor of feet? Kind of MD.
Now Carm's intrigued.
Yeah, yeah, very intrigued. Carm he's wants a to smart know. Guy, and I wonder what happened.
He didn't get duped. Maybe it's just not worth it to him, you know?
Maybe it's not, yeah.
Maybe he didn't get duped at all. Maybe he says, you know what? Give me a football and a jersey. How about that?
I guess. I would have, at the very least, and I would have probably been ripped if it were me, because you said you didn't get enough. I would have been like, hey, I want to bring all my family and friends to a give me a box for a game. I mean, sure. Like that should have been the baseline. Like you got the team has to donate a skybox for a game of my choosing.
Chicken tenders, salad, right?
The whole thing. Dude. Chicken. I mean,
what's on the menu in there? Mac and cheese.
It would be all the best food from within the stadium, whatever that happened to be. It'd be their top of the line food and beverage menu. In the biggest suite they have.
Camus, little wine Camus.
Yes, card? Thank you, Yurko. Good call. Camus for everybody. Prisoner, Camus, Gurgich Hills for everybody. And, like, that would be the absolute, like, baseline. Like, it's got to start right there. Just give me that. And I probably would have given him the ball. And then people would have said, I was dumb. Like, that's not enough. But a jersey, I know that's not enough. It's crazy.
If money's no object for that dude, hell, I'd probably just keep the ball and put it on my mantle. Like, to have that as your collectible,
right.
Like if you're financially set and you're okay, and he still gave it up easy, way too easy.
All right, maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him. We'll see.
And maybe he just got caught up in the moment, guys. That's all.
Yeah, he could have. That's what I said. Like the pressure, maybe the cameras are on and people are around, and you know, you got the guy from the team being like, "Come on, we need that ball. We'll give you something." And he was too nice,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about him.
And once you give up the ball, really all your leverage is gone, and the team feels really under no obligation to sweeten the deal at all. They don't really care.
And the little boy, the other great thing from last night was the little boy.
Amazing.
We saw him.
Well, just think, Carm, if you weren't so cheap, you could have been in the front row and your son could have got
cheap. You should have. Yeah. You should only know what our tickets
your
cost.
Your son would have been able to get the hat and the chapeau.
Don't worry. Come on. This boy beat cancer.
We're doing a bag alert tomorrow on that, because your son could have had the experience of a lifetime, and instead he was changing light bulbs up for the stadium.
They still enjoyed it. We saw that boy afterwards in the parking lot. It was really a touching thing. I mean, that was phenomenal. We saw all of it on social media and everything. So, all right, boys, great work. See you tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Thank you. Flight's been canceled. I'm going to work on it. Thanks to Meller. Thanks to Randy Merkin. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. And we'll be back. More Bears, more NFL. It's going to be a crazy week with the COVID situation up there. So we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Jim Nance has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
Hey!
That's a bad deal. It is. That is a terrible deal.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.